Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
The real reason that we're here, the real reason my marketing exists, is to start conversations, right? And get people to understand the value of our products or services and to start conversations and then nurture those conversations as they go through the customer journey. And so we're here to build great experiences for customers.
Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. And I trust you enjoyed my conversations with Jonathan Pritchard, author of Like a Mind Reader books, and Chris Tan, Facebook Messenger marketing expert. Today, we have on the InnovaBuzz podcast, and I'm really excited to have her on the show, Kate Adams, who's the Vice President of Marketing at Drift, a conversational marketing platform that connects your sales team with your future customers. Kate is dedicated to bring businesses and brands to life in the hearts and minds of prospects and customers by creating and delivering valuable, compelling content for every stage of the customer journey. A quick promotional message from our sponsor. That's my business, InnovaBiz, where we help coaches and consultants build their professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal clients in a way that clients self-select and line up to work with them. To help you get clarity, absolute clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can build a strong, enduring relationship with them, how you can serve them, take a look at our Marketing Master mini class. In less than 30 minutes, you'll get that absolute clarity about your ideal client and you'll start to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. Now, we've even used this exercise to define our audience for this podcast and our other podcasts, for speeches, for presentations, and even for hiring purposes. So who's our ideal team member? Access the Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It is completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, Kate talked to me about starting relationships with real conversations. That is a start of the customer journey with you. She shared why forms and funnels might not be enough to get more customers. And she explained the importance of really understanding your customers' pain, what it is they want to solve, and what success looks like for them. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Kate Adams. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from the greater Boston area in the USA, Kate Adams, who's the Senior Director of Marketing at Drift. Welcome to the podcast, Kate. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Thanks so much, Jürgen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Andrew Michael of Churn FM, who was our guest on episode 207 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Kate. So a big hello to Andrew too.
Andrew, hello. Thanks so much for the recommendation. I appreciate it.
Now, Drift is a company that produces software which you can embed on your website so that people can actually engage with you right there and then. And the listener's probably seen this software. If they visited my website, they would have seen it, but it's certainly on a lot of websites. And there are many software of this type there, but Drift is one of the really good ones. And I'm really looking forward to digging into why it's important to have something like that, how you can use it, what benefits it gets, and how that fits into a marketing program. But before we do all of that, give us a little bit of background on you, Kate, and how did you get to where you are today? I know you've had a long background in marketing, so how did you kind of come out of the traditional marketing into where you are today?
Yeah, sure. So my background is I graduated from college and I was a Spanish major and a communications or marketing minor. And I got out of that program and realized I didn't want to really do anything with Spanish. I was really passionate about marketing. And so I threw myself into finding a job in marketing. And I ended up starting at the very, very ground level doing double-sided data entry and entering promo codes into two systems for a healthcare publishing company. And I then worked my way up there. It was a direct response. I learned a ton about marketing there. They utilized every single marketing channel that was available. And it was really lucky to have landed and started my career there. And from there, I went to a couple startups and did a bunch of different things, and then got into more of the software sales side of the world, and software marketing side of the world. And I just fell in love really with the whole marketing process and the idea that so much of what you say matters, and so much of how you communicate and what you communicate, how you communicate it. All of those things bring a company to life and really can change the way that somebody feels about a brand, a product overnight. And I found that really fascinating. And then I love solving complex problems. And I think funnels, marketing funnels and sales funnels are always very, very complex. And so I love digging in and uncovering the challenges.
Yeah, there's a lot of things there that I really love. The direct response marketing, I think, is something that these days gets a little lost, particularly the human aspects of that actually interaction and the communication that you talked about gets a little lost today in some of the automated tools that are around there. So I really love that, you know, that's your background, and I'm sure that a lot of that has influenced where Drift is going today as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's had a huge influence over where Drift is, and definitely where marketing is going. I think the consumer space is changing so much, and what we always talk about here is how consumer space in B2B, it's just always lagging behind, and there's no reason that it has to, other than we've implemented this on ourselves, and so it doesn't need to lag behind. We can be, as B2B marketers, moving as quickly as direct to consumer marketers, and we should be observing those trends, and I think that's how we stay out in front of so many people.
Yeah. Well, I guess the distinction between B2B and B2C is not at the human level; it's more at the, you know, what's the actual product or service level. But at the end of the day, even at B2B, it's one person doing business with another person. They just happen to be in different companies, and both are in companies, as opposed to a private person wanting to do business with a person at a company.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that old namesake of B2B marketing has really set B2B marketers back, and they have to think about, oh, everything's different, but you're completely right. I am not Kate who buys marketing software from 8 to 6 every day, and then I go home and I am Kate who has a wildly different set of expectations from 6 p.m. till 8 a.m. the next day, right? Like, I have an experience that I can literally take out my smartphone and with 2 clicks of a button, I can have a car standing in front of me waiting to take me anywhere, right? It's how Uber killed the taxi cab company. I can literally go on Netflix and with 2 taps of my remote, I can have access to an unlimited number of movies and TV shows through Netflix, who killed the Blockbuster, the movie rental business, right? And so that is my expectation. That is my expectation. Those expectations of now and being able to transact now don't change because I go to work, right? They just don't. When I'm looking for information, I need it. And I want it as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Now, which is where I think Drift comes in. So for the listener that may not be familiar with the software, give us a brief explanation of what it actually does and what it's good for, what the benefits are.
Yeah, absolutely. So Drift is a conversational marketing platform, right? We're changing the way that quote unquote businesses buy from businesses, because businesses don't buy from businesses. People buy from other people. And so we're trying to bring the people back to B2B marketing and sales. And so the whole concept is connect your sales team now with people that are on your website now, or that are answering or listening or reading your emails now, or watching a video or getting a outbound email about you now, right? It's all about now. And so with our software, you can put chatbots on your website to start conversations that are there with the people on your website. And so I think in B2B marketing, especially, there's a lot of long games around how do I get more traffic, right? I can do PPC advertising, I can do social advertising, I can do SEO and create a strong content marketing strategy. But all of those things take time, right? They take creative assets on the social advertising side. They take compelling offers. They take great copy. They take great landing page design. And you have to do all those things. It's not ever an or. It's never do those things or use conversational marketing. It's do those things and also use conversational marketing, right? And so to me, there's all those long games. There's very few what I would call short games, right? So things that you can do to improve the conversion of the traffic that you have to your website now. And I actually think conversational marketing is one of those things. It's a short game, and it can deliver immediate results. And that's both through facilitating like person-to-person chat, but also facilitating chat with people and chatbots. My favorite summary of what we do is literally we can book meetings for your sales team while they're on another sales call or while they're on vacation or while they're in bed, fast asleep. And so to me, I don't know of a form that can do that for my sales team, right? Like I've used forms throughout my entire more than 15 years in B2B marketing, and none of those forms was able to actually book a meeting for any members of the sales teams I've worked with before.
So essentially it's, if somebody lands on your website, your business website, and they have, for example, a question, or they're browsing a particular page, the Drift bot can be set up to ask them some questions and then send them to the place that has the relevant information which they're looking for right then and there.
Yeah, so what DriftBot can do is actually, so we know through our research that 81% of people who, when confronted with a form, are just simply not going to fill it out no matter how badly they want that information that's behind that form. And so we also know that as marketers, we'll spend $5 billion to drive traffic to our website. And what good looks like is a conversion rate between 2 and 3%. So 98 to 97% of that traffic is just walking away, and we've spent a ton of money to drive it there. And so this is an additional opportunity to increase the conversion of that website. One, by instead of putting a cookie cutter process and generating MQLs, marketing qualified leads, right, through a form, you can actually start conversations. And I think that's what I was talking about a little bit earlier too. I think the other way that not only have we gotten lost as B2B marketers, because we call ourselves B2B and think it's wildly different from consumer, but I think we've also gotten lost because marketing is now measured on marketing qualified leads, MQLs. And so it's that old adage of show me how I'm measured and I'll show you how I act. And so we've been measured on MQLs. And so how we've acted is patting ourselves on the back by the number of MQLs that we add into our CRM systems or we add into our marketing automation platforms. But the real reason that we're here, the real reason why marketing exists is to start conversations, right? And get people to understand the value of our products or services and to start conversations and then nurture those conversations as they go through the customer journey. And so we're here to build great experiences for customers. And I think we've gotten lost on that part because we now have just made everything an acronym. So it's like MQLs, MQAs, SALs, SQLs. Like it just, but at the end of the day, we forgot one really important thing, that MQL is Kate and she just wants some information, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I love how you expressed that because starting a conversation is the first step. So the customer journey to me is actually a much more powerful acronym than thinking of the funnel. And there's lots that I don't like about the funnel anymore, even though I've, you know, done a lot of funnel stuff. But it's really a customer journey from getting to know you, getting to like you, getting to trust you, and then buying from you. And that starts with a conversation. The relationship starts with a conversation. If you're not going to talk to them, then it's not going to go down that path.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, right? It all starts with the conversation. And then maybe there's starts and stops to every conversation, right? And you can nurture that through and take care of it. But I don't think that if we as B2B marketers, instead of saying, okay, MQLs, if we really looked at everything through the lens of customer experience and customer journey, that we would actually call MQLs a good idea anymore. Because what kind of experience is becoming an MQL?
Yeah, that's right. So give us a few tips then for best practices it's technically there's a process for installing Drift on your website, but that's only a small part of it. What are some of the best practice tips you've got for people to use the software in a way that does prompt that conversation, that does start to build that relationship and begin that journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So, here's my number one tip. Number one tip is to look at the highest intent pages you have on your website. So we all know these pages, right? Highest intent. If these people are on your pricing page, they're probably serious about your product or service, right? If these people are on your product specific pages, so meaning like your features and functionality pages, your integrations pages, that's an indicator that they're lower in their customer journey, right? They're further on in their customer journey because now they're really they're in a visualization process, right? They're visualizing themselves paying you. They're visualizing how you're going to fit in their tech stack. They're visualizing how they will actually use you on a day-to-day basis. So it's probably a bit higher intent. So I would start there and I would put a chatbot on those web pages of my website there. And I'd add an intriguing question there, right? It's not just, don't just create a chatbot and say hey there, how can I help? On the pricing page, ask, hey, looks like you're looking at our pricing page. Things must be getting serious. What questions can we answer for you in regard to pricing, right? If they're on your product or features page or integrations page, you could have the chatbot start by saying looks like you're using Marketo. We have a great integration with Marketo. Can I tell you some more about it? And get the bot to start asking a question to start that conversation, right? But put some context into that conversation. You know what page they're on, so you can have the bot have that context already, right? I think the more context you can provide people, I think the better off you'll be.
That's a great tip. So you can set up a specific conversation within Drift by page, by web page?
Yeah, you can do all different types of targeting. You can do it by page. You can do it by person, by company, right? So everybody is talking about account-based marketing these days, and marketers are identifying the top number of accounts between and agreeing with sales on them. Like, these are the top, for example, 100 accounts that we that matter most to us, and we want to make sure that we are providing a white glove experience to those accounts. So what you could do is, when they're coming back to your site, and or when they're coming to, for the first time, you can use an IP address lookup to identify that they're from your company and say, hey, Drift, you want to skip this line? We've been dying to talk to you. And you can actually have the rep on the bot itself to answer that question. So you can actually have, like, for example, one of my reps here is Allie. I can actually show Allie to that account, right? Take the owner of that account in my CRM, and I can say, oh, Allie's been dying to talk to you. Skip the line. No need to fill out this form. Chat with Allie now. Yeah. And that's really powerful. We've seen the outcomes of that for ourselves and for our customers.
And of course, what you may well know, the listener, that chatbots are used very widely and have been for a long time in customer service applications. So that's probably where we encounter them the most these days. But yeah. This is a really unique and powerful way to use them early on in that journey of the customer.
Yeah, and I think one thing, I think chatbots have been used in customer service as almost like deflection. Whereas this is almost the inverse of that, right? It's like, I want to use a chatbot so I can get you an answer to your question really quickly, and I can deflect you from having to speak to a rep. Whereas, like, this is actually the inverse of that. Although we integrate with customer service tools, and we also we use Drift for customer service ourselves. But, like, this actually is able to, like, how do I start more conversations with the humans on the other side of our chatbots.
Yeah, but also giving quick answers. So, absolutely. One of the benefits is, if, you know, we're all in a global business today because of the internet. And so here we are talking across half the globe. So we can't consider ourselves, unless we have a physical product or a physical service. But if it's something we're selling that can be shipped, then it's a global business. And having a global business means that people get onto your website at times when probably all your team's asleep, unless you have a globally distributed team. And so getting those people who are there at that time a quick answer to a question, and then a promise of we'll resume this conversation within 24 hours is, I think, a really powerful way to begin that customer journey as well, and take advantage of the internet and that everybody is really a global business.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. The internet has shrunken the world, right? We all need to be able to do business anywhere in the world at all times, especially if we're selling software. 100%.
Now, Facebook, with their Messenger, has now got services to use Messenger bots where, because people do spend a lot of time on Facebook, they can actually use the Messenger software to interact with websites as well, and there's a lot of push around that. How is Drift different to the Messenger bot type software, and what are the benefits?
Yeah, Facebook's been great, right? They're obviously a huge, giant company. But what Facebook does really well is social media and connecting people. And I don't think that they do B2B marketing and sales and understand those problems, quite frankly, all that well. Huge advertising platform, but how will they really help how do they understand your website and the problems that you're trying to solve and the problems of your customers? Like, how will they really understand that? And so you can definitely add Facebook Messenger and start chats, but like how will that actually make for a better experience to have a conversation with Facebook? The other thing I think that's interesting there is like all of your company data living within Facebook Messenger is an interesting proposition as well, especially with some of their recent data issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always say it's a bit like I have occasionally had people say to me, well, I don't really need a website because I've got a Facebook page and I've got a Facebook business page and I've really built it out well and people love it and gets me business and so on. I say, well, yeah, but you know, that belongs to Facebook. That's not yours.
Exactly.
And I've got kind of the same feeling about the Facebook Messenger, quite apart from the fact that I'm on a bit of a Facebook diet at the moment because I've found in the last 6 months, maybe a little longer than that, it's just gotten so noisy. It used to be that a lot of the groups, the business groups that were there, it was really good to get in there and find information and interact with people, and that was a great value add, I think, to business. It still is, but to find those things now in the noise is getting so difficult, and I think if you use Messenger bot, to me, that's a real issue.
Yeah, I definitely think that. And I think more and more people are also walking away from Facebook. They're on a diet from that, and for exactly that reason, as well as so many other reasons too. So I'm not sure that I would think about that as like the only way that I'd want to provide a chat experience to my users that you have to have a Facebook account. I know, especially as I have a teen now officially, and like she's not even thinking about Facebook at all.
Yeah. So yes, there definitely are issues there. I mean, it's convenient on the one hand, but there are issues there as well. And I think a dedicated chat software like Drift that really is about business and focused on business is probably a lot more valuable. Now, you talked to us about targeted chat and figuring out the highest intent pages and what the customer intent actually is likely to be once they're on that page. What other tips do you have for example, response? What are some of the tips around response so you can have some automated responses and questions, and when should a person actually get in to a live conversation from the supplier company?
So we use the bot to help qualify some of the conversations too. So we have different offers that we make to different size businesses as a company. And so you could use that to qualify that person in any, just like you would use a form to qualify it. And then you can route it accordingly, right? So you can decide, hey, I want to put this cohort of customer through a more touchless motion, right? A more self-service motion where they have an e-commerce store, they can easily check out, they can get started and sign up for free. I'll provide them all the how-to videos they need to do that. Whereas like maybe an enterprise-sized business, we would treat completely differently and say, perfect, you guys, we deal with companies like yours all the time. You have a bunch of complex routing rules that you would need to adhere to, and multi-product companies can be really difficult. So let me connect you with Jason, who talks to companies like yours each and every day. And we even give an example, and some of those, if we know the company, we can give an example of like who the customer is that looks like that company, and that's tied us in. So I think it's about how you use the chatbot to further qualify the person, and then use the chatbot to route accordingly too, I think is really compelling. I think another pro tip I would give on just chatbots in general is don't think of it as I use a form or I use a chatbot. It's always and, right? Mm. And so That's a running joke here at Drift. It's never, should I do this or this? It's like, do them both, right? So it's never a form or a chatbot. You should use and. I'm not asking any B2B marketer out there to rip out all their forms. I know that was one of our marketing tactics to grab marketers' attention early on. But like, I don't have any forms on our website. We only use Drift at Drift, but that doesn't mean I'm asking every B2B marketer to do that at all. And in fact, we have a chatbot flow we call the second net, right? The first net is your form. That's your primary call to action. And then the second net bot is like complementary to that, which is like, hey, you want to skip the line? Or hey, not interested in filling out this form? No problem. You can still get our white paper. And then you have the person go through the chatbot flow, which is like, hey, so what's your email? What company do you work for? What size is your company? All right, perfect. Here's the white paper. No problem at all. Like, hope you have a great day. The other thing that I think is super interesting that we offer is this concept of conversational content. So every marketer is gating, all these B2B marketers are gating so much of their content today, right? And why have we done that? Because we're measured on MQLs, not conversations. And so this concept is, you could put it behind the gate, but when you deliver that PDF, the PDF can actually be embedded in the page and have the chatbot running right next to it. So think through this, Jorgen, right, where you have somebody on your website reading that white paper or reading that executive summary or reading that analyst report that you've paid tens of thousands of dollars to create, you can now start a conversation with them like right alongside that content as they're writing it. So So as somebody's reading that content, they can just type in right there like, hey, I noticed that in this part you guys said blah, 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 but what do you think about this perspective, right? And like start a conversation as they're actually consuming that content. I think that's pretty fascinating to me because like I've never been able to do that. It's always deliver the PDF and then it's like, best of luck, hope you come back. And when you do, I'll be here.
Yeah. I'm exploring that concept a little bit with some of my training programs. So I've started doing the chatbot on the training program courses, and it's early days yet, and I haven't probably got it set up in best practice ways, so I'm learning a lot here. But I think that it can be really powerful there as well, because as you say, as people work through the content, they'll have questions, and by giving them the ability to have that conversation through the chatbot, then I think that's going to add value to that training course in a way that gets more people to actually work their way right through it and get maximum value from the course itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating, Kate. I could go on for ages talking more about Drift, but I think we'll move on now to the Buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily leaders and innovators in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that the audience will go away and do something awesome today as a result. So what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be innovative, in your opinion?
Never stop learning. Never, ever, ever, ever stop learning. When the minute you think you know everything or you've stopped learning, I think you're dead in the water at that point, and you will never innovate. You'll never come up with a better idea. You'll never get better at what you do. To me, it's just always learning. Keep learning.
Yeah, that's wonderful advice. I love it. I don't think there's a day goes by where I don't learn a bunch of different things, and it's always exciting when I do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
The best thing I do, this is pretty tactical, but when I'm really struggling with something, like I get up and go out for a walk. So if I can't like get through this mental block or understand the problem more, like I step away and like I get moving, I go out, I walk, I walk it out. I think about it like, okay, that change of environment, the change of movement, getting the blood going, I think it really does a lot for me. And so I think that's really been very, very helpful, but that's a tactical answer, but I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's always good to kind of step away from the problem or the issue and allow the mind to kind of regenerate. I think that's what happens when you do those things.
Exactly.
All right. Now, apart from Drift, what's a resource that you use most often?
A resource that I'm crazy about a couple of things. A lot of them have to center around audio right now. So I've always been a huge podcast consumer because I love the utility of it. I love that I can be learning something while I'm on the go and make use of dead time. I can't stand dead time, almost to the point of like, I think it's actually a fatal flaw of mine. I hate it. I'm a big podcast consumer, which is now turned into I'm a big Audible consumer too. So audiobooks, because I love to learn, right? And I love to make use of that time. And so I'm a big fan of AirPods, Audible podcasts, and that's like the most valuable tool. I think over the last few years, as I've been consuming more and more and more, I think that's been a huge proponent to my learning, really.
Yeah, and I'm like you. I don't like dead time, and I'm always listening to something. It might be music, but a lot of the times it is podcasts or Audible books. And ever since I've gotten onto Audible, my reading of books, reading in inverted commas, has skyrocketed.
Yes, 100%. I love that, right? Because I that's been always one of the things that I want to read more. I need to consume more information. I need to learn more. And so being able to use Audible to do that has been awesome for me.
Mm. All right. What's the best way to keep a client on track?
Keep them on track? This question was interesting to me. So what do you mean keep them on track? In terms of make them successful or get them through, help them through their buying journey?
I guess to get them successful. So let's say a new client signs up for Drift and there's a whole bunch of things that need to happen to get them set up. And then from there, of course, they're looking to get a great experience out of the product. Otherwise, at some point, they're saying, well, why do I keep paying for this? Because I'm not really having a good experience. So how do you...
Yeah, I love it.
Kind of, okay. What's your recommendation for keeping that client on track?
I think the number one thing that any software or customer success or customer service person can do is understand the pain that person was looking to solve when they bought your software service or product, right? Like what is the reason that they have decided to invest their time and money in you? And like, what's the core reason, right? Like the underlying reason. So they may tell you like, oh, I just need to generate more MQLs, but like, what is the underlying reason that they need that? Oh, it's because my sales team is hungry or my sales team is all over me and they're saying like they don't have enough leads, so I need to get them more leads. Okay, perfect. Now that I understand what success looks like for you, then we can map back and figure out how to get you successful, right? So it was like, okay, by adding this chatbot to your page based on your volume, like here's what that funnel will look like. So I think we'll be able to increase your volume by 50, 10, 100, 1,000, right? All depending on the volume. I think understanding the pain is like at the root of everything.
Yeah, I love that. And the idea of understanding the pain and then saying, well, this is the end that you want to achieve, so let's work back from there and figure out the steps to get there.
Yeah.
All right. What's the number one thing you think anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Not be everything to everybody. Put a stake in the ground and say what you are. right? I think that's the key differentiator. I think trying to be everything to everybody is the single biggest path to non-existence. I just don't think, because you'll never be successful. You'll never make everybody happy. They'll always be like, yeah, but you don't do this. Yeah, but you don't do that. Yeah, but you don't do this. And so you put a stake in the ground and say, no, we're a sales and marketing tool. No, we're a customer service tool. No, we're a this tool. Like, I think you have to decide what you are to differentiate yourself from your peers.
That's great advice. And so many people are afraid of doing that. And yet, it's really one of the secrets, I think, to being more successful.
Yeah, so many people fear that because it means giving up. They think it means giving up on something. It's not giving up on something. It may be giving up on something for now, but then later, once you've aced that, once you own that first category of what you are, you can go and then expand into that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Just saying, not for now. For now, we're going to be this, and this is where we, this is what we are.
That's right. Yeah. And also, foregoing one opportunity allows you to then focus on another opportunity, which may be the one that suits you best and where you add the most value, and therefore you're differentiated.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks, Kate. This has been fabulous. Now, where can people reach out to find out more about Drift, find out more about you, and maybe even reach out and say thank you for what you've shared with us today?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find Drift at drift.com, and we would I would love to see you there. And you can reach me on LinkedIn. I'm at Kate Adams, or on Twitter, I'm at kadams24. Or you can email me at kadams@drift.com. I'd love to hear from anybody.
All right. We'll have all the links in the show notes for those places as well. Now, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
The number one piece of advice that wants to be an innovator in their field. So I would say, I love the differentiation one, to be honest. Like, it's like, pick out what you're going to be, never stop learning. I think it's the summary of all those other questions, but I think never stop learning, talk to as many people as you can, and find mentors. Like, find those people that you want to be like, emulate, and behave like, right? Personally, I've been spending a lot of time figuring out, like, oh, how did the today's innovators have one thing in common, right? Which is how they start the day and start their mornings. And so most of them are early risers. They get up, they have a purpose to their day. They have a ritual about their morning. And so I've been looking at that, but I think that's all about like finding mentors, finding people I want to emulate, finding people that I want to learn from, and going out and figuring out how they act, what they read, and what I can learn from them.
Yeah, there's a lot of great advice in there. And finally then, Kate, who would you like me to chat to on a future Innova Buzz podcast, and why?
Let's see who. That's a good one too. I would love to hear I'd love to hear from, I'm a little biased on this one, and I'm so excited for our Hypogrowth conference here that's coming up in just a couple weeks. Sarah Blakely, who's the founder of Spanx, I think she is she has an amazing story. I think she was dogged in her pursuit of that business and building that business. I think it would be great to hear from her.
All right. Well, we'll reach out to Sarah and maybe get an introduction from you.
Awesome.
Well, thanks, Kate. Thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously on the Innova Buzz podcast today. I've really enjoyed this a lot. I've learned a lot around Drift and some of the best practices, and I'm sure that it's something that can add value to a lot of the listeners' websites and to their marketing platform. So thanks for sharing that with us today. I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Yeah, would love to. Thanks so much for having me again. I appreciate the opportunity.
I hope you enjoyed that insightful and informative conversation with Kate and took something away from her episode. She made some very important points that marketing is all about having conversations and building relationships. And whether it's B2C or B2B, in other words, business to consumer or business to business, it still all comes back to building a relationship between people. I'd love to know what you took away from Kate's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/Kate Adams. That is KateAdams, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Kate Adams. You'll find contact information there for getting in touch with Kate, as well as links to the Drift website, to her social media profiles, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Kate suggested we have a conversation with Sarah Blakely, founder of Spanx, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Sarah, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Kate Adams. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving me your email. In less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity about your ideal client, what their pain point is that Kate was talking about today, and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery or help with podcast production, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we'll set up a quick call to find out if we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again next week. We've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including Mike Montague of Sandler Training and George Bryant of GB Masterminds. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.